Tyler Chesser, CCIM, is a high-performance real estate entrepreneur who helps real estate investors, leaders, and entrepreneurs transform their business and lives. A successful real estate investor with a background as a former perennial top-performing commercial real estate broker, Tyler started investing in multifamily real estate in 2015 as a way to build wealth and create diverse income streams for his family. Prior to launching his real estate investing firm, CF Capital, Tyler spent over 7 years in the business as a founding principal of a successful commercial brokerage company, real estate investor, professional speaker, and award-winning sales professional. Today, Tyler offers a range of services and programs from syndication of private passive investment opportunities, individual to group business coaching, real estate consulting, keynote speaking, and hosts a top 200 business podcast internationally called Elevate. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Sam, thank you so much for having me, my friend. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, man. Thanks for coming on today. This will be a blast. I'm super looking forward to it. You know, the same questions I ask everybody who comes on the show. Can you briefly tell us, and I know we got a lot out of your bio there, but, you know, give us a little color on this. Where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah, well, I started my career as a corporate sort of individual. I actually started in the corporate world. I never knew I was going to be an entrepreneur, never knew I was going to get into real estate. I was always taught, hey, you know, go to school, get good grades and get a good job. And, you know, by the time you're 65, perhaps you'll have a little nest egg there that you can ride off into the sunset with. And it's interesting because as I became a corporate employee, I started to feel a little bit, you know, maybe this isn't the right fit for me, because I just started to feel like, well, wait a minute, I'm expected to be in this seat from this time to this time. And wait a minute, I got to take my work home with me as well. And if you want me to be available on a Saturday morning or maybe even a Thursday evening for a conference call across the world, I got to do that. And it doesn't really matter necessarily my effectiveness, but it matters how long have I been in that seat? Who really likes me in the organization? What type of politics have I played? You know, whether or not I'm going to earn more money. And so for me, that was really kind of an early part of my career that defined a lot of the decisions that I made thereafter. And so long story short, you know, that internal turmoil that was also external in many ways led me to reinvent myself. And I reinvented myself by getting into real estate. As you mentioned in the bio, I started in real estate as an agent. Then I founded a brokerage company. I learned quickly when I was doing that, that it was a great way to generate fees and income, but it wasn't a great way for me to generate wealth. And while I was investing in real estate along the way, if I wanted to create real wealth, it came through focusing on investing. And so it's been a constant evolution. Every single day is a constant evolution. And so I've become super passionate about personal development, personal growth, mindset, surrounding myself with people like you. Of course, that's where the podcast came from. Of course, you mentioned as Elevate Podcast. It's all about mindset, mind expansion, and personal development for high-performing real estate investors, because that's what I'm all about and that's what I love. And that's the thing that I love about being an entrepreneur, being an investor, is that it's a challenge. It's almost the greatest personal development process that you'll ever go on. And so for me, I've transformed as an individual through this entire, you know, in many ways, kind of uncomfortable process. So that's just a little bit about my background and where I was and now where I am today.
Man, that's awesome. I love that. And maybe we can spend a few minutes kind of digging into that transformation process. Like, how did you go? You know, you're sitting in that seat and you're figuring this out, going, oh my gosh, like I could do this for 40 years and it's all about tenure. And like you said, time in the seat. And then, so what were your next steps that you said, all right, you know what, I'm going to get out of this. I know you said you went and became an agent, which was interesting. Was that on the residential or the commercial side? And then how did you really work your, I got a lot of questions coming at you. How did you work that out? And then what were some of the things you took early on to really help you drive and guide your mindset?
Yes. So, man, there's a lot there. And you'll find this funny. The very first thing that I did when I started to feel that discomfort, it's so interesting to look back on. The first thing I did was revamp my resume. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to go to a different organization. And, you know, this organization is my problem. It's this organization. But what I didn't realize is that it's really the culture of corporate America. It's a culture of being an employee in that type of environment. It has nothing to do with the organization. It's the way that the entire system is set up. And so that was my first thing. Of course, I bumped my head a few times and then I realized, well, wait a minute, that is not my problem. My problem is taking my future in my control, bring it back into my control rather than hoping and wishing that I get a promotion, that I get a raise, that I get more than a cost of living. And so the first thing I did, I bought a house a few years before this, and I was asking everyone, hey, what else should I do? If I'm not, because I was actually in international marketing at the time. And I loved it. I really loved what I did, but I didn't love the environment that I found myself in. So I was asking everyone that I knew, hey, what else could I do? What else would I be good at? And my realtor told me, hey, you need to come to the seminar next Wednesday night and just come check us out and see what's up. And I'm like, okay, I'll check it out. You know, because at this point I'm like, hey, anything, whatever it takes, I want to make a change. And so it's funny, I went to the seminar, they give me a personality test and it says, hey, you'd make, you know, six figures if you were a real estate agent. So to me, six figures was every bit of money in the world at that point in time. And so I said, okay, I can get my license. I can do that on the side. And so I did get my license. I started selling residential real estate on the side. Within 6 months, I doubled my income. And I also said, well, wait a minute, this is great, but also I don't really love residential real estate because there's a lot of emotions involved and all these things. And so I said, well, what else is there? It just started me on this constant evolution path because then I said, all right, well, I got my license. I created more income, which was one of my issues, but this isn't what I love. And so then I stumbled into commercial real estate. Then I started selling commercial real estate, multifamily, office, retail, land, industrial. And so I was kind of getting all the food groups from a small local investor perspective. And so then I leaped into that full time. And as I leaped into that full time, I found a niche in multifamily and became known as the apartment guy. So that was sort of the early part of my trajectory into real estate.
What did you do mindset wise? I know you said that your Elevate podcast focuses a lot on mindset and personal growth and development. Those were the tangible steps you had taken, but what were some things you did along the way to change the way you thought?
I was grateful early on. My first broker that I worked with in Forer, really who I hung my license with, encouraged me to hire a coach. And my coach was teaching me all about how to build a business by referral, by developing systems, by developing not only ways of communication, developing marketing techniques so I could establish a presence in the marketplace. And of course, that framed well with my background as a marketer. But my coach was always telling me things about books that he read and things that he learned from books and that he was sharing with me based on certain learnings that he had read in all these different books. And I remember there was one book that he kept referring to, and it was called Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And of course, most listeners, I'm sure you've heard of Think and Grow Rich, if not have read Think and Grow Rich once, twice, or maybe even more times than that. And so that title of that book was very intriguing to me. It was so interesting because at this point in time, I was several years out of college. But I remember when I had graduated college, I told myself, hey, now I'm retired, because I was doing things in college. I was really busy. I was really active and I was the president of my fraternity and all these things. And I was like, you know what? Now all I have to do is work. So now I'm retired. And that was my mindset. But until this moment that I saw, well, wait a minute, if he's telling me there's a book called Think and Grow Rich, then I'll check that out. You know, and I started reading that book. And my eyes were crossed, man. I was like, what is this guy talking about? I mean, this is written in 1920s prose. And also, you know, what do you mean you can think and grow rich? So this was like a whole new paradigm, a whole new world. It was almost like a labyrinth. When I opened this door, I just continued to like dig into this. And it was like, that was when my life really changed, was that when I learned the power of my mind and I learned the power of what I feed my mind, what seeds do I plant in my mind? Where's my intention? Where is my focus? And am I thinking bigger? Am I leveraging my subconscious mind, or am I just using my conscious mind? Because, man, I grew up in a middle-class background. Nobody's talking about subconscious mind. Nobody's talking about auto-suggestion and these kind of things. No one's thinking about how can we create substantial, massive wealth, not from a selfish perspective or anything, but it was this whole new world. And it was like, man, I became ultra fascinated in it. I almost became more fascinated in that than real estate. And so that led into more passion for me to grow my effectiveness in real estate because I learned about what the power of my mind was. So that was my first entrance into mindset.
Man, that's cool. I love that. I love that. And I bet that it's a continual growth cycle. Like at this point, you're probably still going, there's so much more out there to know and learn.
Oh yeah. So it's so crazy because, and I know you would agree with me on this, Sam, the more you learn, the more you realize you don't know. And it's crazy because there is a certain level of ignorance is bliss. And, you know, when you don't know much, you almost feel like, hey, I got it all down. But the thing about it that's cool is that, you know, especially like in real estate or just being an entrepreneur, being an investor and evaluating whether it's economic circumstances, psychological behavior, migration patterns, statistics, the way that we feel and think from our own emotional perspective, the way that we behave, the way that habits impact our life. When you learn all of these things and how they're all interconnected, you start to realize, wow, there's so much more growth for me to really step into. And it's really exciting. You know, the thing that I've just fallen in love with is learning. And, you know, I know that some days are really challenging, some days are overwhelming, but I know that no matter what, I'm going to either win or I'm going to learn. So if I fail, that's only feedback. It's not fatal. And so when I get that feedback, I can say, well, wait a minute, maybe I lost some money. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I did something wrong. Maybe someone's mad at me. But guess what? I learned. And now through that experience, I can do better next time. And so I think that's also a fundamental mindset shift as well, is that no matter what, you can take action, because, you know, we can be worried, we can be scared, fearful, but that doesn't really help us move forward. And so if we move through discomfort and we take action no matter what, and we learn that we can learn whether we win or lose, you know, that's just a powerful thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love that. That's well said. What are some things, give us some real life examples where you've had to move through discomfort?
Man, constantly. I mean, honestly, I was having a conversation with my wife last night about just, we have so many things going on right now. We just acquired another deal. Literally, we closed yesterday, 132 units. 2 months, thank you. 2 months ago, we closed a 247 unit deal in another nearby market. And so, you know, that's a heavy value add property. There's a lot of things that we have going on. We're migrating from one technology system to another in terms of our investor management. You know, we've got a lot of things moving at once. We've got some things going on in the home front. My wife and I are expecting twins. And so we are moving through discomfort constantly. And it's this conversation that I have to have every single day. It's like, hey, you know, do we pull back on some things? Do we kind of slow things down and kind of pull the throttle back? Do we contract or do we expand through this? And I tell you what, man, every single day, even somebody like myself, who's so committed to mindset and learning and growing, has to still face this and say, well, let's move through this. And through the face of discomfort, we can grow. And so, I mean, I think just a lot of complexity, a lot of new things happening, a lot of shifts, a lot of changes, you know, that's just an example of some discomfort that I've had to go through. But man, I mean, continued growth as well. I mean, we're growing our team. We've got a new individual joining our team who's got the potential to become a COO of our team. And this is someone who's got a huge amount of capacity. And at the same time, for us, it's a little bit uncomfortable because we've got to bring in a new leadership role within our company. So there's just so many different things, but it's this constant conversation that I have to have with myself. But does that resonate with you, Sam?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, you're preaching it, man. This is great. When is a time that, like, how do you know when to contract, or how do you know when to say, wait, let's circle the wagons and maybe assess where we are before we go take on more?
I think we're always having this decision, whether we're in expansion or contraction. I think I would err towards expansion constantly because we're telling ourselves who we are. We're telling ourselves a little bit about our identity every time we make a decision. And so I would certainly err more on the side of expansion if possible. There's certainly times in real estate, as you know, that can get extremely risky if we don't know what we're doing. And so at that point in time, it's okay to contract and ask more questions and take things a little bit slower and maybe bring more people onto your team and perhaps pass on a deal if you're not ready for it. But I would certainly err on the side of expansion because we're not going to know everything. And there's sometimes where we have to take the first step and let the momentum carry us through and recognize that no matter what, we will do whatever it takes. Like, that's my mentality, is, hey, whatever it takes. And I know that I can be unlimited resourceful and I can be creative. And it's not about having the resources, but it's about being resourceful and having resourcefulness, finding solutions, finding opportunities to correct errors. Like I said, nothing is fatal typically. I mean, obviously within reason, within this conversation, the frame of this conversation, no mistake that we make in real estate is fatal, obviously, again, within reason. So what can we do to expand through failure, gain that feedback? So for me, I always try to err on the side of expansion.
Right, man. That's great. That's great. I love that. Let's go back to your story a little bit. So then you launched your own brokerage firm, right? And was that on the commercial side or the residential side? Because I know you said you weren't in love with residential.
Yeah, that was on the commercial side. So I was only doing residential for a very short period of time early in my career. And so, you know, it's great for me to learn this business, being a commercial broker. And the reason why is because I could see, you know, how investors were really looking at deals, how they were maximizing deals. And it was interesting because over several years, in some cases, you know, you would see investors go into a certain deal, reposition the deal, and then exit. And I'd be on both sides of those transactions, which is always exciting. And so for me, that was a great way for me to really dig in and really immerse myself into this business, because I didn't have any friends, family, any background in this business. And so for me, that's all I knew. You know, I knew that I could generate more income through being a broker. So I founded a commercial real estate brokerage company and ran that for a few years. And then as I decided to fully transition into the multifamily investing side of things, I decided to kind of back away from the brokerage business because I didn't want to be a competitor with our broker colleagues who basically, you know, collaborate with us in terms of our acquisitions today. So that was a decision that I had to make. It was a tough decision. I mean, a lot of people in this business, you get in, you create substantial success in the business. It's very tough to go away from those type of fees that you generate. And so that was a challenge, but that was the path that I took.
Yeah. And I think that goes back to your moving through discomfort, right? Like,
right.
That would be a tough decision because I'm sure you had other agents, you had other people working for you. You guys had built systems, you had processes, you had it all running. It was a machine and you go, okay, I'm going to shut this down.
That's exactly right. I had to take two steps back to, well, maybe three, to take one step forward, then another. And it took time. I mean, honestly, it took 2 years before that transition actually made sense. And so it was very uncomfortable.
Wow. Yeah, that's it, man. And those are things that people don't think about. There's a lot of listeners probably that are, you know, W-2 employees and things like that. And, you know, that fear and trepidation of, my gosh, if I leave the W-2, or in your case, I mean, you've got a machine that's making money. And like you said, it probably took 2 years for that to come full circle. It's like, man, this is a lot to consider.
Well, that's the other thing too, is that I feel like if you want to be successful in real estate, I mean, no question as an investor, but I think as an entrepreneur, as a practitioner, you always have to take the long view. And to me, man, 2 years flies by. Unfortunately, and sometimes, you know what I mean? If you're going through a challenging transition, in some ways, it's like, oh, I'm so glad that transition is over. But in other ways, it's like, man, you know what? 2 years is going to come and go. So the question is, what are you willing to commit to? And what do you want your vision to be in your future? I mean, what type of lifestyle do you want to design? That was the thing that I realized as a broker is while I was generating high income, it was not the lifestyle that I wanted. And while I was a commercial real estate broker, I was in high constant demand all the time. And I was like, man, I'm not sure if I want to build a family with this type of lifestyle. And so I'm looking at real estate and saying, look, this is a vehicle. So what can we do to shift the way that this vehicle serves me? And that was the reason why I made that decision.
What is the lifestyle you want?
I want a lifestyle where I can learn, where I can grow, where I can share experiences with people like yourself, where I can, you know, inspire and be inspired. I'm driven by learning, by growth, by experience, by challenging myself. I mean, we've been talking about discomfort a lot in this conversation. While it still is not comfortable, like, and even that phrase, I feel like the phrase is very important to find comfort in being uncomfortable. It's still not natural. And so for me, it's like this challenge. And I can look back on a Friday or the end of the year or at the end of a quarter and look back and say, wow, I'm really proud of myself. And for me, that's what makes life worth living, is going through a bit of challenge, expanding, evolving. I call it elevating in many ways. And so for me, that's what makes life worth living. But also, I love to travel. You know, I love to see the world. I love to meet new people. I love to try new food. I love to read new books and spend time with my family. So the vision of my life is really all about.
Man, that's awesome. I love that. That's absolutely great. Did you ever have, you mentioned this early on, you know, you grew up in a middle-class family. No one was thinking in these terms. No one was thinking, you know, expand your mind. No one was thinking how to really move yourself forward. Did you ever get any blowback from family or from people that didn't understand what you were doing or going, hang on a second, well, what's Tyler doing again?
Okay, so my family still has no clue what I do. They're like, so you're doing this little podcast thing, so what's going on with that? And they'll ask me, it's interesting. I mean, I get where they come from, but they'll ask me, hey, how's work? You know, how's your job and things like that? And it's like, I don't think my family still really understands what I do. But what I try to do is I try to just be who I am. And the thing that's really interesting is that I've changed a lot from who I was growing up or who maybe a lot of people in my family still see me as. And so I think that hopefully, you know, they see that I'm just trying to grow and change and, you know, always be constantly becoming the next version of myself. And I hope that that rubs off on them in a positive way. I think that that's been my biggest thing. Like, I read this super simple book years ago, and you may have read this too. It's called Who Stole My Cheese? I think it's called. And the message of that book really resonates with me. And it kind of has become a central theme of my life, is that it's always about changing. It's always about growing. And so, you know, my family, as far as what they ask, I mean, I think that they kind of have slowed down on their questions because they just are a little bit confused about it. But it is really interesting. Does your family ask you anything? I mean, how does that resonate with you?
Yeah, I mean, I ask because I could sense that the answer was going to be the same as mine. So it's a little funny. I got that question yesterday from one of my brothers, like, hey, how's that podcast thing going? I'm like, well, it's going great. Thanks for asking. You have no idea what I do. It's all good.
They're like, why are you doing that again? What's the deal with that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm like, well, look, dude, I get to connect with the best and brightest across the country 365 days a year. Like, that's awesome. They don't get it. They're like, so what's that do for you? I'm like, okay, we're like, just how are you? Like,
<let's move> on. So true.
Oh man, that's good times. That's good times. Tyler, before we jump into the final four questions, and I've thoroughly enjoyed this. We never even got into your business or into, you know, multifamily or how you've grown that, but you know, maybe we'll save that for another time. Before we jump into the final four, is there anything else that's really on top of mind that you'd love to share with the listeners?
Yeah. I mean, when you think about multifamily real estate, you think about real estate in general. Like I said, it's a vehicle towards creating an outcome that you want in your life. And so the question is, you know, how can we reverse engineer that? I mean, obviously we can get to really practical terms about, hey, well, what type of cash flow is required to cover your expenses, your burn rate, those kind of things and beyond so that you can live a life free of, you know, following your passions and doing these things. But it does come down to continuing to invest in yourself. So when you think about that, I mean, the things that I think are important for investors to consider is, hey, we need to continually study what's going on in this economic environment. I mean, I just had a, you know, an economist on my podcast about a week ago, and we were talking about the set of circumstances that we're, you know, experiencing right now. I mean, we're in uncharted territory. And so investors need to be fully aware of what's going on with currency, what's going on with migration, what's going on geopolitically, what's going on with materials, labor, all these different things. And so I think that's critically important. I would just encourage the listeners also to study their own psychology, psychology of others, to understand how can you influence and impact other people in a stronger way. Because at the end of the day, real estate is a people business. Of course, it's bricks and sticks and cash flow and NOI and IRRs and all these things. But ultimately, it's all about people making decisions. So I think those are critically important. And then also mastering our own emotions, because we think, feel, and behave in certain ways based on how we feel, you know, based on our affect, based on, you know, did we get enough sleep last night? What did we eat, you know, last week? How much water have we drank? How much exercise have we gotten? So these are all very different things. But I think if you want to be a high performer, it's about studying widely and then understanding deeply and surrounding yourself with an amazing team of people who can be experts for you in certain ways, and they can serve you, you can serve them. Because a big philosophy that I'm really fond of is who, not how, right? You need to learn, you need to grow, you need to expand, but also you don't need to know everything. You don't need to be the expert in every way. So if you want to be a high performer in real estate, it's about surrounding yourself around great people, continuing to learn and continuing to adapt and grow. And so that's what I'm passionate about. And that's what I would share with your listeners.
Man, that's awesome. Tyler, I've certainly enjoyed this. Thanks for sharing everything you've shared today. This has been great. Final four questions are this. If I gave you just $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
You know, I think if I was going to put $20,000 into real estate, I would start with a duplex and house hack it, you know, little to no money down, you know, probably 3.5% FHA mortgage. I never did that, but I think it's a great way for people to get started, for people to start developing systems, for people to get in the game. But otherwise, I would consider, you know, investing in your own learning, you know, because the best way you're going to get a return on your investment is to invest in yourself. So maybe if you could do 3.5% down, you got some more money left over, go buy a bunch of books, go invest in, you know, a conference, go meet people. And that's what I would suggest.
Right. I love that. If you could help our listeners avoid just one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
Ask more questions. Man, this is one of the biggest mistakes I made early on. And you know what? I honestly have to continue to check in with myself is I've got to ask more questions and show more humility. Because my default is, hey, you know what? I'm the expert. And it's just something that I have to be aware of myself and my own sort of identity is that I want people to think that I'm the expert. So don't be shy. Ask more questions and don't be like me because it can cost you a lot of money. And so, of course, costing you money is, it can be valuable in the long run because the lessons are valuable, but ask more questions is what I would suggest.
Right. I love that. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Our tagline and our philosophy and mission with CF Capital is elevating communities together. And the way that we do that is we invest in high value multifamily communities. And instead of, you know, being a slumlord, we go in and we actually do the right thing. We don't cut corners. We treat our residents right. We treat our staff right. We treat our community right. And so through this process, not only do we and our investing partners, our lives and our families elevate and improve, but of course, those communities do, our staff does. We talk to people about things that you and I are talking about today, about expanding our mind, about expanding our leadership capacity, about expanding our circle, about expanding through discomfort. And so through this process, we get to create amazing returns on investment, but we also get to create communities that thrive as a result. And so elevating communities together is the way that we create impact and income at the same time.
Love it, man. That's awesome. Last question. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, well, just check us out at cfcapllc.com. That's where you can learn more about our company, CF Capital. And then also, if your listeners are podcast listeners, I would just encourage them to come check out Elevate Podcast. We're everywhere you can listen or watch podcasts, or you can check that out at elevatepod.com.
Awesome. Tyler, thanks so much for your time today. Do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Sam.